W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Officials in Michigan say the death toll could go up after a local Marine veteran plowed his car into a Latter-day Saints church in Grand Blanc, opened fire, and ignited the building. At least four people were killed. Paul Kirby was inside.
I felt some shrapnel hit my left leg, and then a bullet went through the glass door about a foot from me.
President meets with congressional leaders today as a Wednesday morning budget deadline looms. White House spokeswoman Caroline Leavitt.
There is nothing to negotiate when you have a clean CR. Look, there are, of course, important policy discussions that can be had, but we are nearing a government shutdown.
Oregon is suing to try to stop the president from sending the National Guard into Portland. Governor Tina Knowles.
Putting our own military on our streets is an abuse of power and a disservice to our communities and our service members.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Shali Pittman, filling in for Melissa Kay. Last month, thousands of gallons of crude oil spilled when a train derailed in Dodge County. It made Civic Media's Parker Olson ask, how often do trains derail in Wisconsin and why?
In 2023, there were 27 reported derailments. The accidents are dangerous and can not only cost a lot of money, but also have the potential to spill hazardous materials. Oftentimes, these derailments happen in or close to populated areas. The National League of Cities says that two-thirds of all rail accidents happen within cities. That's because in and around those urban areas, the track has more curves and turns. That's when there is a higher chance of something going wrong.
When things go bad, they go really bad.
That's Mark Burrows, a retired locomotive engineer and the editor of the Railroad Workers United newsletter. According to him, train derailments have a few primary causes.
Inspection of the rolling stock, inspection of the tracks, the ridiculously long and heavy freight trains, and insufficient training.
Burrows also says jobs have been cut over the years, making crews smaller, all while trains get longer. Some trains are well over a mile and a half long, posing a challenge for crews that often are just an engineer and a conductor. That's an issue of its own, but it's the crew size and jobs in general. Our research found that there have been 45 derailments in Wisconsin since 2023. The cause of 21 of them is reported to be human factor, but Burroughs warns that the decline in jobs, crew size, and a de-skilling of workers is a reason for many human-caused derailments. Burroughs also claims that track-caused derailments can often be attributed to fewer workers who need to inspect more rail track and having less time to do it than in the past. There have been 15 track-caused derailments in Wisconsin since 2023. For Civic Media News, I'm Parker Olson.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Shali Pittman.
It is going to be another warm one today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We could see a little fog overnight, our low dropping into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day.
Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. A butcher, a banker, a drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people.
Time to start the show. One more hour of the morning show for you. Got your host James here, joined by Laura and Seth. Hope you guys are having a great one out there. We're going to get into some great stuff. We got entertainment news coming up for you in just a little bit. We'll be diving into. Looking forward to all of that. Of course, we also got another good one lined up for you about, where is that here? Yep, the what food was the biggest disappointment once you tried it?
That is. Start thinking about that one.
Looking forward to that and been looking forward to this. We got a recorded edition of The Kitchen's Open for you right now, everybody. Proudly brought to you by Beth and the Hotel Meat.
Good morning and welcome to The Kitchen's Open. We have some exciting news to share. Yay. If you were listening at the beginning of the last hour, you heard our segment now has a sponsor.
Woo, yeah. Woo.
I'd like to give a big thank you to the Hotel Me for sponsoring the Kitchens Open. If you haven't been in a while, they have made some exciting updates. You can go check out the Whitney for a wonderful meal or head over to the Grand Avenue Tavern for some drinks.
Yeah, I've been over to the Whitney once or twice. Very good food there. Looks like they're Italian is kind of where the way they're going, and it's very tasty.
Yeah, so, and they've good. They've got some live music and drinks that you can have out on that patio outside of the Grand Avenue. So lots of fun things happening over there. And maybe while you're there, you can get a sandwich.
All right.
This month is National Sandwich Month and National Panini Month. So I thought we'd spend some time reflecting on the history of this meal option.
I love sandwiches. They are one of my favorite things. If you can put it between two slices of bread, I'm there.
If we had stopped as a society with sandwiches and we never made any other type of food, like that was it. Yep. Every food was served in sandwich form. I'm all right, too. I'm
there
with you on this.
There you go. Yeah.
The slice of history I know about the sandwich is that it's named after the fourth Earl of Sandwich.
That's right. According to the website history.com in an article, who invented the sandwich? They say, we call the sandwich a sandwich because of the fourth Earl of Sandwich? Yes. Was he the first person to come up with the idea? Not at all. So even though we think it's named after him, he's not the one that did it. So the article says the truth is we don't know who invented the sandwich, but it has existed in various forms for thousands of years. One of the earliest known sandwich eaters was Hillel the Elder, a rabbi and scholar who was born in Babylon and lived in Jerusalem during the first century BC. The Haggadah, a Jewish text read during the annual Passover Seder, recounts how Hillel made sandwiches using paschal lamb, bitter herbs, and unleavened matzah bread. In Jewish tradition, during the Seder meal, participants remember this by eating their own matzah sandwiches.
Oh, genius.
Yeah.
Absolute genius.
One of the earlier memories I have. matzah sandwiches. Yeah. Man, brings back memories.
I wish we was, you know, sandwich is a name that doesn't really describe what it is.
Right.
So I wish we would have come up with a better name before the Earl of Sandwich got all the credit, doing this.
And is it just bread? Or if I remember, matzah is a more like a cracker type bread.
Yes.
So it's a lot crispier. So it's harder to eat it as a sandwich.
Yeah. Not so the perfect.
No. Not the best vehicle for that kind of thing.
When did we stop naming things after the person that invented it to?
Like, yeah, that's a good question.
Like everything was done that way for the longest time. Yeah. And like everything was named after a last name.
We should start calling it the Hillel. I think we should try to get that caught on.
There you go.
Got my Hillel here.
The matzah sandwich is the Hillel. Yeah. I mean,
and really nice pronunciation, Beth. I know it goes without saying for you, but I it's nice to hear. It's just really nice.
You're welcome. I did my research on that one. And what do we determine as the bread for the sandwich? Because would we consider a hamburger a sandwich?
Oh, the old thing.
Because that's a bun.
That's true. I would call it a sandwich.
Right? And then there's the taco, has more of the consistency of the matzah.
Right.
That's
so
true.
So is that a sandwich or is it not?
You might have convinced me.
And now,
because of that, with the matzah sandwich, that a taco may be a sandwich now.
It depends on who I'm talking to. I am not an easily swayed person on most topics. On this one, for some reason, I just like, oh, yeah, you're right. I have no like willpower on this one. Like I bend to whatever I'm hearing because it's such a convincing argument almost anyway.
You don't have a horse in that race, huh?
I really don't. I'm right. Like, okay, yeah, that's a sandwich. Sure.
Sure, why not?
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, the article goes on to say that it's not clear why the English politician John Montague, a.k.a. the fourth Earl of Sandwich, became the namesake for the food we call a sandwich. The first known use of the word sandwich comes from the diary of the English historian Edward Gibbon. On November 24th, 1762, he wrote about seeing men eating, quote, a bit of cold meat or a sandwich, end quote. But there's no mention of the Earl being the namesake.
Oh, maddeningly. Obscure. It's just,
Then in the early 1770s, the French traveler writer Pierre Jean Grosley published a gossipy and satirical book called A Tour to London or New Observations on England and its Inhabitants. In it, Grossly described a scene at a gambling table. The word sandwich does not appear in Grossly's book, but many people assumed the scene in the book, which Grossly may have made up, referred to the fourth Earl of Sandwich. In any case, the name, which people like Gibbon were already using, caught on. By at least the mid-19th century, sandwich was so common that English-speaking people were using it as a verb to describe the process of placing something between two other things, as if one were making a sandwich.
Wow.
So a sandwich theoretically could also be with two pieces of lettuce.
That's true. That's a, as long as it's between something, right? That makes sense.
It almost feels like anything between something is almost a sandwich.
Yeah. You know? According to that definition.
I love the idea of this. If you go, you know, in the afterlife, you ask the fourth Earl of Sandwich what a sandwich was, and he'd be like, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I don't know what a sandwich is. That's my name. What do you mean?
Exactly.
It's like asking like Abner Doubleday, how about that baseball you invented? He'd be like, what?
Right.
What baseball? What is that? Right. Yeah.
So one type of sandwich that has become popular in the last decade or so is the panini. This Italian sandwich has an interesting backstory all on its own. In an article on the University of Wyoming Extension website entitled Pressed for Dinner, by the way, great title, the panini. Originally, the panini had working class Italian origins. Whether you're referring to one un panino or more due panini or panini, the first sandwiches were made with a simple recipe, a single filling, usually meat, paired with rustic bread. Cured meats such as prosciutto, salami, and pancetta were often used because they didn't require refrigeration. Panini was usually eaten on the go as a quick meal or snack and wasn't toasted or grilled, which is not how we're used to seeing the panini. In our minds, it's always that grilled
sandwich.
Get
that grilled marks on it, right?
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So somewhere along the way, however, a crucial discovery was made. While a regular panino is good, a toasted panino is even better. Today, many people use an electric countertop grill or a stovetop grill pan and press grill to cook both sides at once and get that perfectly toasted, crunchy exterior paired with a warm and melted interior. So again, the original panini had only the meat. No condiments, no cheese,
just
nothing.
Really simple.
Yeah.
Bread and meat, basically. Well, I love the idea that we're doing it wrong, too. We've been saying it wrong. It's the singular.
Yeah.
I would like a panino, right? Instead of panini is the plural, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and often we think of a panini as one half of the sandwich. So technically, a panini would be both halves, which would be two, right?
Yeah, okay.
So if you only wanted one half. Try and go in and order a panino.
Go to Panera Bread and do that. Yeah,
there you go.
Now I kind of want to do that.
What? What are you talking about?
Well, and then you can educate them. Well, that's actually the plural of.
Yeah.
So,
but please just order the sandwich.
Over the years, the panini has grown in popularity, and ingredients began to evolve into pretty much what we know now. So the rustic bread, such as ciabatta, francesco, a small French-style roll, and focaccia, became the signature foundation of the sandwich, not sliced sandwich bread. So that's another difference between what we understand as a regular sandwich.
Those are considered rustic breads, which is fantastic. I love that. It's not nice bread, you know, like sliced and stuff. No. This is rustic.
Has a nice crunch to it. Think of using, like, if you're going to use sliced bread, use the heels of the bread that nobody likes to eat anyway.
That's my favorite part.
He likes crust. Right?
My Nana, for every meal I ever had that she made, would save on the French bread, would save the end pieces for me.
Just
put them right there for me.
Well, people also began to experiment with fillings then, right? So meats used in panini included salami, prosciutto, capicola, mortadella, pepperoni, ham, roast beef, turkey, chicken, and bacon. So just about any kind of meat that you would want to put in there.
Mm-hmm.
Cheeses, from mozzarella to brie, became standard, which adds welcome depth of flavor. Vegetables, including tomato, arugula, eggplant, or grilled squash, brought garden-fresh taste and texture. Pesto, herbs, mushrooms, roasted red peppers, marinated artichoke hearts, pickles, olives, and balsamic vinegar were added to balance and complement flavors. The combinations really are endless and make each panini an individual dining experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My gosh, it's the versatility of the sandwich. You can basically do anything you want with it. That's what I love about them.
Sandwiches are great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best things ever.
And the fact that you can still call a sandwich a panini without it having to be that grilled panini. Mm-hmm. So if
exactly.
you don't have a panini press or something like that at home, you can still make a panini.
Got your ciabatta bread there. Just throw
there
something in between and you're good to go.
And if you want to go throwback, just do a piece of salami in the middle
and
go. You're
good.
There you go. Yeah. It doesn't have to be fancy or elaborate.
Mm-hmm.
Or create your own recipe with it. Mm-hmm. And if you do, include it in our recipe book that we're going to be putting out as part of our anniversary. You can do that by stopping by our parking lot party on August 20th. We'll have sheets for you to fill that out.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be fun.
So once again, as we come to a close, I do want to thank the Hotel Mead for sponsoring our segment. Whether you're looking for a great meal, a night out, or a place to hold your next event, the Hotel Mead has you covered. For more information on all they have to offer, go to www.hotelmead.com.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs, don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back to the morning show, everybody.
Yeah, hi.
WFHR, locally grown radio.
We're here.
Let me get Brittany's weather back in. So the weather outside, it's not good, everybody. Well, it's nice for some, and then some people aren't going to like it. Then there's other people who will.
We don't usually have Brittany at the top of the 10.
We do. She does have a weather break that comes in right before we jump on.
Oh, that's what we're missing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the weather didn't play. So I don't want to
nail it.
Sure
no. You were doing the right thing. Carry on.
We dive right into entertainment news, but do want to send a shout out to Beth, sending us a great edition of the Best of the Kitchen's Open. Mm-hmm. That was a fun one. That was great listening for that. And a big thank you to the Hotel Mead as well. Dolly Parton in the news. She is postponing her December run of shows at Caesars Palace Coliseum in Las Vegas. In an Instagram post yesterday, Dolly explained she's been dealing with ongoing health issues, and her team has suggested she undergo several medical procedures. Luckily, she is taking their advice. Dolly lightened the moment, of course, by saying she told her doctors, "Guess it's time for my 100 millionth mile checkup."
Oh. She's, good for her.
She stressed that she that these procedures aren't cosmetic, but they will keep her from properly preparing for her shows. Mm. And she wants everyone to know that this is not a retirement announcement. Dolly said that maybe it's just God reminding her to slow down a bit. She said she'll continue working on projects back home in Nashville while she recovers. The 6 December concerts have now been rescheduled for September of next year.
Okay.
And that's certainly, you know, hopeful to all of her fans and the people that were hopeful to see those shows, that they even rescheduled them.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have to. I mean, they could have just outright canceled them. Yeah.
Find that encouraging. Also, you know, I feel like we kind of understood that it was just a matter of time before starting to get this news. The only thing to slow Dolly down is Dolly. Like, yep. I'm happy.
It's up to her.
Happy that she is listening to her team. Happy that she is, doing what she needs to. Because as much as we love her as a performer, we just love her and just want her around.
Right, yeah. And we love that no one's going to tell Dolly what to do here.
Oh no,
Dolly's going to do what she wants,
and she's smartly. I think
that's why we love her.
Yeah, exactly. I think she's smartly taking a little bit of time. You know, it's one of those things that you see a lot with people who've been performing for so long. When their body starts to slow down a little bit, it's a little harder for them to slow down with it. Because they're so used to being able to having all the energy, you know, and going out and doing all the stuff that they do.
Right.
And so it's got to be, you know, kind of a melancholy thing when you realize you can't do what you used to do, especially when you still feel like you can, you know, there's still more to do.
The
desire is still there, yeah.
One of the most relatable human things in existence is relating to what you just said there. And every human being can relate to that. Now put yourself in that position of you can do something that very few in the world can do.
Exactly.
Yeah. And feeling that. And I can't imagine what that must feel like. We see it all the time with athletes, and they have to retire, or they don't realize their body has let them down or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Laura touched on something that as much as the key part of this is Dolly is dealing with some stuff, and we're hopeful for her. We're all sending her good energy and good vibes. The statement, been dealing with ongoing health issues, and her team has suggested her undergo. Nobody told, even with all this on there, nobody's necessarily telling her to do.
She made it so clear.
In the most Dolly way of doing it, too.
Yes.
It was very well done. Get well soon, Tactful. Dolly.
Mm-hmm.
Get well soon. Take care of yourself, Dolly. We need you. We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, during the Sunday Night Football, they announced that the 2026 Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh,
now,
yes.
I thought that was quite surprising that they didn't really, I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but I did not hear about that they were going to announce this soon.
No, there was no wind-up.
No.
Yeah.
I'm excited
very
about this.
Very surprising drop. Yeah.
So, two quick notes about that, everybody. When that happens, you can guarantee that this was going to leak out this morning.
Yeah.
They were just trying to get ahead of this as quick as they possibly could because somehow they were able to push back the news. So this was going to break this morning, whether they did it or not. They were just trying to get ahead of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way in this day and age where a movie coming out 6 months from now, you've already seen the trailer, the Super Bowl halftime show going to be announced during the Green Bay-Dallas game.
100%.
We've been hearing about that for weeks.
Oh, yeah. No, they have commercials leading up to the announcement.
The other part of this is that negotiations for who the act was going to be were ongoing up until, I would say, even this past week.
Oh, sure.
You know, so
there were a lot of things to consider.
Mm-hmm. They were able to put together a commercial and some stuff together pretty well, but you can also see quite a bit of CGI to it and everything. So,
and last minuteness.
Yeah, probably.
Now, I have been on record of saying that I bet money. I wouldn't have literally bet money, but I bet money that I thought it was going to be a country star. Mm-hmm. You know, Taylor, a Lainey Wilson, a Chris Stapleton, somebody like that. I thought for sure with last year's Super Bowl halftime show, they were going to go the opposite direction. That was the thing I was most certain on. They were going to go the opposite direction. And they kind of did. They kind of did. And I say that as somebody who's trying to just grasp a little bit of...
string there.
I was correct in them going a different direction to a degree. Bad Bunny was announced as the headliner for the 2026 Super Bowl halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not look like he was their first choice. Taylor Swift was allegedly in heavy negotiations for this.
Wow.
But she turned it down because she didn't want to do it for free.
Yep.
That is the essence
of
this.
And that's what the Super Bowl halftime show is.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will say that any human being, no matter what you do for a living, you deserve to be paid for your job.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, and you deserve to be paid a rightful wage, no matter what the circumstances.
Right. I'm not going to disagree with her.
Yep. And an organization like the NFL that is literally printing money as we speak right now, millions of dollars.
They can afford it.
They can afford it.
Yep.
Except for when it comes to literally the richest entertainer in all of entertainment.
Right.
And when it comes out that, like, and this is not the first thing that has come out about her in recent years, and really going back even past the pandemic, of how much is her career about music and how much is it about making money? Because she has really, really, her fan base, nobody talks about the way her fan base that made her the way she is, she has pretty much cornered out of the market of her ticket sales and done nothing about it to try to help her fan base. Mm-hmm. She has gotten a lot of credit from myself and included for rewriting her songs and re-releasing them. Mm-hmm. But there is no deal on those for people that have already bought her that same album.
Right.
There's no real difference to it other than it's owned by Taylor, and you get to the satisfaction of making Taylor Swift richer.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that's,
and now it's pointless because she's got him back anyway. She got the publishing back. So, yeah.
For decades, Kiss has taken heat for being a band that markets themselves on everything.
Right.
And they get like knocked down a peg musically and respect-wise because of this.
Sure.
We cannot wait to make fun of a celebrity for endorsing this or selling this or something like that. Mm-hmm. People are still making fun of George Clooney for selling coffee.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How does she skate by this? I'm not calling this out. I'm genuinely asking the question to everybody out there. How does she skate by this?
It doesn't bother me. I think that she's entitled to ask to be paid. And I'm not a fan of Taylor Swift's, but honestly, it doesn't bother me. She has her priority and her bottom line, and they just don't see eye to eye. I'm much more interested in the Bad Bunny of it all.
Well, so the other side of this is that now they definitely had him as a backup plan regarding this. Just to wrap up the Taylor part of this, an unnamed music executive says, quote, she wasn't asking for favors. She just was asking for respect. Mm-hmm. Taylor knows her worth. She knows the kind of ratings she brings and the global attention she commands.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
She wasn't about to hand it over for free.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Bunny is doing it for free. And you can make an argument Bad Bunny is an even bigger star than she is.
Worldwide, sure.
And that's where I go, where I grab onto that last little bit of I was right about this, where they went a completely different direction, something that the NFL is doing already in trying to grow the, quote unquote, grow the sport with all these games being played overseas.
Yes,
sure.
That's something that they're, this is not going away. They're going to keep on trying to get that overseas dollar. And boy, keep in mind on that oil money, everybody. Keep an eye on that, because that's going to be creeping in more and more and more. And we're already turning a blind eye to that.
Sure.
Like Phil Very Mickelson much so. And a lot of golfers took a ton of heat for joining LIV Golf. But now I'm seeing some of my favorite comedians and some of the world's favorite comedians and other people and all that doing a lot of shows over there and doing a lot of these things. And they're not taking nearly any of that heat.
Mm-hmm.
It's very twisted to me. Mm-hmm. The idea of the Bad Bunny thing is just trying to grow the sport, but I like Bad Bunny.
I like him a lot. I'm really excited about him doing it. This is the only concert he's having in America this year.
Yes. It's wild to
see.
He
has canceled all of his other American dates because of fear that ICE will show up and target his fans.
Yep.
It's an interesting choice with that and all these other factors going in and everything. And I don't know that it's the first choice that I don't know what the percentage of Americans would have said that would have been their first choice.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this was a choice that was not made necessarily for the fans and not all fans. Mm-hmm. You're your average American football fan. I don't know how many Bad Bunny songs they know. I don't.
Right. You know? But at the same time, the NFL also knows that they don't necessarily have to pander to the football fan for their halftime show, because it's going to be on YouTube to be watched forever. And they're going to get the people who weren't watching the football game watching the YouTube.
That's that too. So.
Pandering, agreed. But ignoring is another thing.
Sure.
To completely ignore your fan base, something that the NFL has been doing quite a bit over the last couple of years. We've been talking about this with streaming, yep. The amount of money that you need. If you wanted to follow your local team and catch every game this year, we're talking thousands of dollars you would need to have to be able to do that. Some of those things. The NFL keeps trying to kill the golden goose. They just do these things. Now, I'm not saying any of this because I disagree with some of these things. Now, the overseas games, I think that was interesting for a while. I think they need to bring that back or dial it back some, where Roger Goodell is talking about and bringing on more games. I like Bad Bunny. I think he's hilarious. He's fantastic on SNL. Every sketch he's been in, he's nailed. He's been great. I'm looking forward to new audiences getting the chance to experience him and see him and some of those things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
That's good. But two things can be true at the same time. You can chew gum and walk at the same time. It also looks like the NFL could care less about NFL fans. They don't really care.
I don't know. I guess I don't know. I think you might be underestimating the average NFL fan. I think there might be more Bad Bunny fans in there than you think.
Put it on a poll.
And again, what is and it's been so up and down with the halftime show. Honestly, I don't know why they put so much stock in it. Or anyone does, for that matter, because everyone ends up complaining most of the time anyway.
It's just a source for complaining in every direction.
So I mean, put on like
it just needs to be a good show at this point.
And Wicked,
Bad Bunny
put Wicked on.
Super Bowl 60 goes down February 8th at Levi Stadium in Santa Clara, California, which is a home of the San Francisco 49ers. One more entertainment story for you, because we got to get this one in. For one, I love the idea of starting it with Dolly Parton and ending with Tina Turner, but nice. It's also this bronze statue. A 10-foot bronze statue of Miss Turner was unveiled in a ceremony on Saturday in her hometown of Brownsville, Tennessee, and you got to see the hair. The sculptor says she tried to capture the moment on stage, including how she had held the microphone in her, quote, mane of a lion hairstyle.
Yeah.
That was exactly what it was.
50 donors contributed to the statue, including a $150,000 donation from the Ford Motor Company, because they're building an electric truck factory nearby. The Queen of Rock and Roll passed away May 24th, 2023, at 83 years old. Mm-hmm. And here is a picture of that statue for you all, if I can get this pulled up.
Get there. Oh, nice. Go. Oh, the hair is just magnificent.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, that is fabulous.
Oh, that's great.
I love that.
They really did capture the hair.
Yeah. How cool. It feels like it's more hair than woman.
And which is accurate.
Tina Fey.
Yeah.
Tina Turner. Tina Turner. That is pretty cool. It's pretty cool, too, because, again, you know, for any of us that have been paying attention to the bronze statues and all these things that they've been making and stuff, they're normally horrifying.
They are like, pretty terrifying.
They're not bad. They're horrifying. Yeah. Look at Cristiano Ronaldo's statue.
No, that one was rough.
It will horrify your dream. In fact, don't look it up.
Good old-fashioned nightmare fuel.
I care about you. Do not look that up, everybody. Instead, stick around for our news, sports, and entertainment and partner break. We'll be back talking foods that you really wanted to try, and then once you did, they didn't turn out to be that good. Mm-hmm. Coming up, morning show.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has reported another significant increase in the number of calls for falls in 2024. According to a recent report, emergency crews responded to over 140,000 calls for residents who were hurt in a fall. The total is nearly 10,000 higher than 2023 and over 35,000 higher than 2019. DHS officials say the state's aging population is a contributing factor in the increased number of falls. Wisconsin also has the highest fall death rate among older adults in the country. Wisconsin state lawmakers have introduced legislation to ban hemp-derived THC products in Wisconsin. Lisa Hill reports.
The proposed bill would close a loophole in the 2018 federal farm bill, allowing certain kinds of items like beverages and vapes that contain THC to be sold legally. The bill would change the technical definition of hemp and ban the sale of items that contain synthetic cannabinoids.
Republican State Representative Scott Krug has introduced a proposal to allow clerks to begin counting absentee ballots a day earlier. The current election process requires clerks to wait until Election Day to count absentee ballots, causing delays in larger areas of the state like Madison and Milwaukee.
The proposal would also require absentee ballot drop boxes to have 24-hour video surveillance live streamed on the local municipality's website and require that ballots be transferred from the drop boxes to a storage facility under law enforcement supervision. Krug said his goals for Wisconsin elections include three things: that the person voting is who they say they are, that the person is eligible to vote, and that we know who won the election before we go to bed on election night. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Final score, 40-40. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Cowboys and the Packers battled through overtime, only to have the game end in a 40-40 tie. It was Micah Parsons' first game back against the Cowboys. What was his reaction to the draw?
I'm not even gonna lie, I'm pissed off. I'm very disappointed. You know, I even told Jordan to the side, you know, thank you for having our back today.
So the Packers are now 2-1-1 heading into their bye. Did the Packers do anything different? I asked Cowboys defensive lineman Kenny Clark.
Yeah, it was all the same. I mean, same stuff we expected. 1-2-1 is way better than 1-3.
Baseball, the Brewers beat the Reds 4-2, and now they wait to find out who they'll face in the playoffs. When did they realize that they had turned the season around?
We were going to lose our third game in a row, I believe, in Pittsburgh on a dreary, cold day, and we had 3-0-2 doubles. It was a grinder day, and then since then, I don't know what our record was, but it was really, really darn good.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Not sure if you guys remember, I broke that whole Tom Holland getting a mild concussion story last week. Even though it might not seem all that important given what's happening in the world, in the spirit of real journalism, here's a follow-up on his condition. The 29-year-old is just fine and has been released from the hospital. Sony and Marvel are taking precautions and keeping Holland away from the set for a week to fully recuperate. The studios say this will not delay the release of the film. I can't imagine missing a week of grade school because I bumped my head on the swings. Here is a drama thriller to put on your radar. A House of Dynamite is still 2 weeks away from theaters, but generating a lot of buzz. The plot? A missile is launched at the United States, and there is a race to find out who is behind it and what the response should be. The film's directed by Kathryn Bigelow, who oversees a hotshot cast, including Rebecca Ferguson and Idris Elba. The film will be available to stream October 24th after a brief, limited theatrical run. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
It is going to be another warm one today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We could see a little fog overnight, our low dropping into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
When some loud bragger tries to put me down.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Laura, Seth, James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. I almost said a name of a person that has not been. I almost said Greg. And I don't know why.
Wow.
Which one of us was Greg?
I don't know.
Maybe me. I don't know. I might have called myself that for a second. Shout out to Greg Gack.
I was going to say, you're supposed to be Greg Gack you were talking about. Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking about it last night. I don't know where it came up with today. I don't know. We're getting ready to celebrate our 85th anniversary around here and, you know, bringing back some of those voices, some of those names is something I'm trying to do and get them on the airwaves with us a little bit here on the morning show and stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess that is one way to do it.
We've all had this happen. You're hanging out with someone, and they can't stop talking about some new brand or food dish or type of, you know, maybe a seasoning that they like or something like that. Or they, you know, TikTok has got some trend going on. And then you try it, and it's kind of like, it's all right. It's not so much bad as it is just kind of like...
It's not as exciting as you thought it would be.
No. Yeah. You had higher hopes.
Yeah.
People online are listing the foods that were the biggest disappointment once they finally tried them. And here are some of the highlights. And of course, as always, we encourage audience participation, 715-424-2600, or call or text us through the Civic Media app.
Yeah.
Want to hear from you, everybody. This is in no particular order, so we will just start out with truffle oil fries. Quote, I expected gourmet, but they tasted greasy and artificial.
Okay.
The ones I've had weren't bad, but they were crisp. They were crisp. Yeah. They were the way I like them.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Soggy? Well, no, I don't know anybody who could like soggy fries.
Okay. Yeah, no. I'm trying to think of... It depends on how they do it. Like, are they... Are they frying it in truffle oil, or did they finish the fries with truffle oil? That's a very important question.
That's a good question, actually. Yeah, it is. I have...
And there's an easy way to over-finish your fries with truffle oil.
They're hard as rocks. I think we found out one of James's thing. He doesn't like soggy in food.
He doesn't like mush.
The soggy in general. Is mush a problem. Okay, now we understand mushes, a little bit more.
Keep it away. I'll starve. I will, yeah. Dubai chocolate. Quote, it wasn't even close to being good for all the hype that it got.
Yeah, but I am so skeptical of anybody's chocolate review, unless I know their palate. I'm sorry. That's a very specific thing.
Chocolate's very subjective. Yeah, it's true.
So I don't see it on this list. I'm not seeing it on this list. So I would say I have two things for myself. Caviar was one. Okay. As a little kid, I remember going to this family reunion and everybody was hyping up, oh, they're going to serve caviar. They're going to serve caviar and all this. And, oh, your grandparents but really shelled out and got the most expensive stuff and all this and everything. And I get to try some as a little kid. And I have not had fish eggs in my mouth since. And probably never will.
Like, okay, but did you just have it like straight up? What were you doing?
I had a cracker.
Did you have it on something?
All right. At least you tried it right. Yeah.
But it wasn't because it was...
It's not for everyone.
Some of the things that Seth just touched on there and what I am with texture and everything, but mostly it was I remember the being topic. Just let down. I remember just feeling like, oh, it wasn't as great as it could be. And then there's the next one on this list, the McRib. Quote, and I didn't have high expectations in the first place, and they were still let down.
Still pretty let down. Ooh, that's rough.
Opposite for me, where not only my whole life people have been talking about the McRib, but my good buddy Will, who is a diehard Mickey D's fan, could not stop raving about it, and they didn't have it. They didn't have it. Then all of a sudden, they bring it back, and he was so excited. He even bought me one. Jeez. I took one bite, and I look at him as I'm looking up to look at him and everything, and his eyes are like saucers. He's so excited to see my reaction, and I'm just like... And I just went and took another bite. Yeah. Like, I didn't even say anything.
No, I just kept on eating. I had a similar experience. One of my high school best friends was a McRib guy, and I was not impressed. Also, shout out to Eric. I hope you're doing well wherever you're at.
Terrible taste in food, but I hope you're doing all right. Yeah.
Great taste in music, though. Solid dude.
So there you go. All right.
Those gigantic smoked turkey drumsticks at Renaissance fairs. Quote, the meat is like ham, and every bite is full of ligaments and tendons.
Yeah, it's meat. It's meat.
So they've never had a turkey leg before, in other words, because what it's full of. Yeah.
So you're used to having, you know, your chicken off the bone. All right. Just say that.
But still, ridiculous. Giant turkey legs. It's ridiculous.
I hate it. It's messy, and my hand is always covered in whatever fat. It's not worth my time.
It's all about appearance.
It's all about just walking around
with a big old ham hock.
It's about being able to walk around
ham
with
hock
a fist
would be better,
of meat.
Yeah, honestly, I'd rather with ham
hock. But my hand would still be greasy. It might even be sweet. What if it's honeyed ham? Anyway.
Turkish delight. Quote, that Narnia stuff for this.
I know. It's so disappointing.
I'd rather have a lemon bar. It's good. I'd rather have a lemon bar.
They're sweet and tasty. Nothing wrong with it, but it's nothing
special. I'd rather
have
a lemon bar.
Yeah, yeah. And what is about it that's Turkish? That's what I want to know. There's like no Turkish
country of origin? Well, I don't know.
Thank you, Seth. Because
also, Turkey's borders are wonky through history.
That's very fair.
I mean, don't know what Turkey is and is not anymore.
I know what Turkish delight is, but for the audience's sake, sure, yes. I think it's important to note and everything. Because, I mean, I know, certainly, but I have no idea what Turkish delight is. It's a family of confections based on a gel of stretch and sugar, starch and sugar.
Yep.
Right. Premium varieties consist of largely of chopped dates, pistachios, hazelnuts, or walnuts bound by the gel.
So they would
it's
definitely
kind of marshmallowy,
and it's definitely from Western Asia because it's got dates in it.
Yeah,
which is they originate from there. So yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's sweet. It's marshmallowy. I don't care for marshmallows, so it's. Yeah. I'd rather have a lemon bar.
I'm with you.
Sparkling water. Quote: It's not amazing.
I love bubble
it's,
water.
It's overrated liquid static.
I love it. I'm about it.
Liquid
I don't care.
Static. Oh, I love that. That's
sometimes
great.
I just want my water to be bubbly.
Liquid static. New band name.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
that's a great band.
Classic band name
right
there. I'm
going to write
that
down.
Yeah.
I would,
I can't title the episode Liquid Static.
I would go see them live. I would go whoever they are.
100%.
This one angers me. Donuts from Dunkin'. Quote, they look pretty, but they always seem to be stale.
What? Well, that I must mean, be the Dunkin' they're going to.
Yeah, the last few I've had were, unless I was getting a fritter. The fritters are always good.
Well, fritters, just in general, are superior. In my mind...
That's the superior donuts. Donut.
Yeah, yes, fritters are better.
You are the Flitter twins. Yes, yeah, yes.
Heck yeah.
The fritter
activate.
Oh, you guys got rings and everything.
Yeah.
I just make no bones. I'm just biased about Dunkin'. I just
well,
yeah,
and you
I'm
like your pink
sure.
frosted donut.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
I'm not even sure saying that
you
I'm,
like a classic.
Yeah.
It's a classic for a reason.
Yep.
Next one is probably the one that I've heard the most as far as things like this in this realm. Lobster. Quote, it's fine, but expensive for a small portion. I don't get the fuss. It's, again, not saying that people hated lobster. It was just that all the hype, and once they had it.
It was disappointing. Yeah.
It's no fun without lemon and butter, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it makes
if
it a lot better.
Eating
yeah.
it right.
Yeah.
Also,
like
Old Bay,
that
but
most.
That might just be the Maryland in me.
It's That's very Southern all the way around, though. Old Bay is very
Old
Southern
Bay is
spice.
Everywhere in
yeah.
Maryland.
Yeah.
Twinkies. They
yeah.
quote the most artificial.
No, you know what? That might be mine.
Surge, sugary, plastic-ish flavor I've ever
plastic-ish.
Tasted.
No, yeah, no, that might be mine.
They're not wrong. I mean, it's true. Yep. There's not. I mean, so, I don't know the appeal. Now they
no.
became what they were.
Well, and what little enjoyment I once got out of Twinkies when I was younger has completely faded. Like, I don't think I like any of those anymore. They're just a sugar bomb.
Oh, goodness.
And there are certain sugar bombs I'm down for. I don't like those.
No. Pick better ones.
I've had it recently in the last year or so. I don't know why it was so different, but I had Mountain Dew yesterday, and as I took a sip, I realized it's just liquid sugar.
Yeah.
That's all.
With
I don't
lemon
know.
Juice.
Like, it's all I could taste. I literally could just taste sugar. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, wait a minute. How have I never noticed this? Kombucha.
Oh, I love kombucha, and I used to make it. I made kombucha for many years.
It's like, yeah, so they said that it's something that just didn't live up to the hype. Mm-hmm. But they not,
well, you hear a lot about it, right?
Well, not really people saying that they didn't like it necessarily.
I don't think people really hype it up about its flavor.
I wouldn't know.
No, kombucha it's a probiotic beverage.
Oh,
and so it's
okay.
It's an alternative to having just a sweet beverage. It's a sweet beverage with... probiotics.
Oh, okay.
And it's not as sweet because, you know, the bacteria ate some of the sugar,
right?
And it ate some of the caffeine because it's made with tea. Like, it's...
Yep.
To keep up with modern trends, something that we are going to be infusing all of our original programming with is dragon fruit. Everything has dragon fruit now.
Now
so
with
gonna,
more dragon fruit.
Yeah, we're going to be incorporating that in a lot of our morning shows
15%
now.
15% more.
Quote, quote 10 for 10 visual design, 10 for 10 name. The fruit has the texture of a watermelon but tastes like water. It tastes like nothing.
I
wasn't a fan.
The exotic fruits I have found are very disappointing. The flavored star fruit was my big one. I remember seeing
star fruit,
and I was like, "Wow, that's so cool!" And then my mom just done it. You know, she said, "Okay, we'll get it. Whatever, cut it up." And I'm like, "This doesn't taste
like
anything.
Fruit. Yeah.
No,
it's just like, kind of sweet. Tastes like a fruit.
No starshine. I mean, I wanted to know what stars taste like, and they just totally let me down."
Well, I'm sorry you were disappointed. I like a star fruit.
Maybe with this one in particular, but with a lot of these, I wonder if because people are used to the artificial flavor, once they get the real flavor and it doesn't add up, I don't know if that comes in.
That might have something to do with it, too.
Oysters. It's just cold glop you put on a hot sauce on.
Stop. stop. You guys don't understand. See, now that one exceeded my expectations.
See, I've never had an oyster. I haven't I quite muscled up the desire to do so yet.
It's there's something.
It just looks like snot.
It's hey.
And it's really repelling
it's
to me.
Satisfying. There's something so satisfying about slurping up oysters, man. I don't know what it is, but they're awesome. I love them.
I want to agree with you so bad right now, but I just don't have the cojones to try oysters.
Couple more for you. Champagne. As a quote, as a kid, I expected it to taste like cherry 7-Up.
You're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I don't
like, bro, that's not champagne is.
Cherry 7-Up.
Cherry 7-Up.
I will say, and I've had some very, like $1,000 bottles of champagne. Right. I've had some very expensive champagne. It is the most overrated drink maybe
ever. Yeah, it's fine. It's only good as a mimosa. I'm sorry.
I've had a little of the Dom Perignon, and you're right, nothing exciting there. Yep. It's just tastes like champagne.
It's fine. But I'd rather have it as a mimosa.
Coconut.
Have you ever had one with grapefruit juice instead of orange juice? Anyway.
Coconut water. Quote, it tastes like water that's been,
like it sat next to a coconut for a while. Yeah. That's exactly what it tastes like. It's fine.
Which shocking it tastes like. It's
because that's what it is.
It's coconut water.
What were they expecting? That's what I'm curious about.
It was inside
about.
Of a coconut.
Yeah. That's what else is it going to taste like?
And Starbucks pumpkin spice latte.
Oh, okay, quote, sure.
It was so disappointing, overpriced sugar and mid-coffee.
Mid-coffee,
Have you ever been to a Starbucks? And I'm not even trying to insult Starbucks.
No.
But honestly,
all their drinks are like that.
Yeah.
That's why so many people like it. That's exactly what it is. It's mid because there's a lot of big, as many people as you can get in there, right?
Yeah.
A lot of different tastes and
they're
stuff.
They're aiming
I'm
for
telling
mid,
you.
I guess.
And it's working. I'm not going to, their business model's pretty good.
Visit your local coffee shop.
Way better. They just shut down tons of stars, like their biggest drawback ever. Everything. But you're right, though. It is still working.
Where's this coffee from? Is it the Mission Coffee House
that we have here? It's from Mission. That's local.
All right, shout out Mission.
Shout out to them.
Yep.
And a shout out to all of you hanging out. We got one more segment left for this Monday edition of The Morning Show.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life. But you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head. But you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Lucas and director, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. Thank God it's Monday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits, we can't read them by the poker face. Deep cuts, the way it goes when you're a part of it. And some authentic cringe. This is how you remind. From 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
It is going to be another warm one today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We could see a little fog overnight, our low dropping into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Laura, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Got our schedule to get into, some local events going on in our area, and some other fun stuff to touch on as we take you to the top of the hour. Leading the way, great civic media programming throughout the rest of your day.
Mm-hmm.
Quick programming note, tomorrow, Laura and I are going to be hanging out, bringing you your morning show, Serious Comedy to start your day.
Yeah.
We're going to be joined by Autumn Rickey. She is a marketing manager Manager with Pinnacle Marketing Group, a new Hardware, Wisconsin Chamber member.
Nice.
She's going to join us on the air a little bit, tell us a little bit about Pinnacle Marketing and stuff as a Chamber member. Keep that in mind, all of you people out there on the fence as far as joining our Wisconsin Rapids Chamber. You get to hang out with us for a good 10 minutes or so on the air.
That's right.
Yeah.
Be sure to join us for that.
We're nice.
Got
cool.
It.
Sometimes.
Got it.
Except for Laura. She's
got.
I'm a delight.
We have got a great Rapids report lined up for you that Laura and I are working hard on for you. In part one, our main episode today, we're going to be talking with our good friends from the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church and Grace, and we have their community book sale happening with the Moravian Church.
Yeah, it's almost here, everyone. Almost here.
Beth and Alice are going to join us. Always, I always like talking to Beth. I enjoy that, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Going to be a good one. Be sure to check out the newest edition of the Rapids Report at WFHR.com. Be there for you this afternoon.
It will.
And, of course, over on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI, the home of country, we have got some great stuff lined up for you today. From 4 to 5, Playmakers, we will speak sport with you. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Join us. Got a ton to talk about today. I think I'm going to be doing the show solo, but I won't be alone. I got all of you to hang out with. Mm-hmm. Be sure to call us with your sports takes and feelings. And it'll be your tailgate lead into some great high school volleyball. 650 Assumption at Nakusa. Mike and Seth tag team in this one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lots of sports this week. On your home for high school sports in Central Wisconsin. Yes.
Yeah. And a tiny bit of Laura's Lounge in the middle.
Just that's right. Just to throw that in there. And because, you know, she's got some keyword. She's got a keyword she's got to throw in there, too.
I do have a keyword I need to throw in there.
Mm-hmm.
We have some great events going on in our area, everybody. Yes, wanted to touch on some of these. Laura, we'll go chronological a little bit here with those. So, Laura, you got our first one.
I do. On Wednesday, October 1st, from 4 to 8 p.m., you can get some food from Noodles & Company, and 25% of the sales will go to benefit the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. And you can also do it online by entering the coupon code GIVING25. That's cool. Is only in the Wisconsin Rapids Noodles & Company, so do your best to give back that way. You know the United Way is doing a lot in the area, and if you're not sure, you can visit uwswac.org.
I love Noodles & Company. They got such great stuff there. Good stuff. Hey, we got trivia, everyone, coming up on Sunday, this coming Sunday the 5th, from 4 to 6 over at Two Doors Down Brewing Company, 140 East Grand Avenue. Join them for a fun afternoon of trivia, food, and a silent auction going on there. Get your team together for up to 6 people. Mm-hmm. It is free to play. So you can just come on in here with your team and enjoy some great trivia. And they will be accepting Goodwill offerings. And, of course, the silent auction will be going on at the same time. And, of course, all the proceeds go to help pay off debt for high school students who have any food service debt that they need to pay off before they graduate. And that's the main recipient of that. And that's all the area schools.
Which is very cool.
Yes. Yeah, so it's here, Port Edwards, and in Nakusa. So all of those are included on that one. Mm-hmm. And then James is going to be talking about it here in just a little bit. The community book sale is coming up next week, everyone, October 9th and 10th. That's Thursday and Friday. And then, of course, the bag sale will be on Saturday, 8:30 to 6 on Thursday and Friday. And then on the 11th, 8:30 to 1, the $2 bag. Fill it up with as many books as you can. 100% of the profits go to Mid-State Technical College Scholarships. There's going to be free baked goods and coffee while you browse. Most books are only a dollar, and this is all happening at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, 310 First Avenue South in Wisconsin Rapids.
And then on the 11th at 2 p.m., the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater is having their Golden Anniversary Variety Show, and they're looking for acts to participate in the anniversary celebration. You can email Gretchen at cdwrct@solaris.net or call 715-421-0435 if you are interested. They'll also be accepting applications until, don't worry about that. You can go to the website, wrctheater.org, for more information.
Nice.
Head on over there, everybody. We'll meet you there. It's going to be a great one. While you're there, be sure to get your tickets for On Golden Pond. Got that coming back this week. More on that later. We'll get into. Did want to make sure that we made time for this, though. Every September, we observe Suicide Prevention Month, a time to shine a light on a crisis that touches far too many people out there, and especially when it comes to our veterans and our unhoused. Mm-hmm. Suicide remains one of the most urgent issues facing veterans. veterans today. Factors such as post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, substance use, chronic pain, and the challenges of aging can all increase these risks. These are individuals who have given us everything. Mm-hmm. Let's do right by them and make sure that we are an ear, a shoulder for them. Spread the word about different organizations out there like RVFW and different other things like that. And mm-hmm. certainly spreading the word about 988, making that very, very common for everybody to know, just like we know 911 mm-hmm. or other things. 988 is that number. You are not alone. We want to be there for you. Reach out if needed. And keep mm-hmm. this in outside of just September. Let's keep this going. Let's keep this topic out there. And let's normalize talking about suicide. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. that's how we've lost so many of our loved ones.
Yes.
By making this something that we are afraid to talk about. That's right. I said afraid. Now, how many of you reacted to that with putting your chest out? I'd be like, I'm not afraid of nothing. I'm not. Let's prove it. Let's prove it. Let's prove that we're not afraid to talk about this subject and make sure that not only our veterans, but so many others out there struggling with this know that they are. We have them. Back. We are thinking of them. We care about them. Mm-hmm. Also wanted to remind everybody that we are getting closer and closer to November and celebrating WFHR's 85th anniversary. One of the things we're doing is putting out the 85th anniversary cookbook.
Yes, Woo! We are.
Yeah. We need your recipes to do it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Get over to WFHR.com, and while you're there, sign up for the newsletter if you haven't done so already.
Yeah.
And, of course, get us those recipes. It just takes a couple moments to submit it. And if you have your recipe on maybe an old card or, you know, something different that you're not able to get it to us online mm-hmm. for whatever reason, mm-hmm. stop on by or call us. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. You can also text in pictures using the Civic Media app if you would like to do that to just submit your recipe card.
Just easy peasy.
You don't even have to leave your house.
I know. It's awesome.
There's a lot of great ways to do this. Just encourage you to do mm-hmm. so. Everybody get on over to WFHR.com, sign on up for that newsletter, and get us that submit yet recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, every submission that is going to be going to the cookbook, that person, those individual families, will get a cookbook.
They get one for free.
Complimentary cookbook.
Yeah. So
full of good stuff.
And we got to fill it with something. So
yeah,
send us your recipes.
Yeah.
It's our love letter to our community.
It really is.
Thanking mm-hmm. you guys for everything. We want you to be, it won't be the same without you being a part of it. Be sure to be a part of it, everybody. And keep on listening throughout the day for the green or gold text to win multi-state contest. Big local shout out to Rapids Transmission. We have daily chances for you to win some gold jewelry, $200 cash. You win one of those and you get in the running for those Green Bay versus Minnesota tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Got another keyword coming up for you. Just moments. We got another one coming up at the 11 o'clock hour, then 1, 3, 5, and 7 o'clock hours today. Be listening for that.
Stay tuned.
Great show today, you two.
You too.
Be good to each other out there.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is hosting Israel's prime minister at the White House this hour after insisting a Gaza deal is near. Holly Williams reports in Gaza there are no signs of that.
This morning, Israel again dropped leaflets from the sky warning remaining residents to leave Gaza City, where Israeli forces have been targeting apartment buildings. Those leaflets warn in Arabic that Israel's military is now surrounding the city from all sides.
Later, President Trump will meet with lawmakers in an effort to prevent a government shutdown. Press Secretary Caroline Levitt.
The president is giving Democrats one last chance to be reasonable today.
CBS's Lana Zach reports four people are dead after an attack on a church in Michigan yesterday. The church later burned.
It is possible that there will be an increase in that death toll because there are still many people who are unaccounted for.
The 22-year-old charged with killing Charlie Kirk has a court hearing today. He is charged with aggravated murder. Stocks are mixed. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
97.